Life Lessons, the Gintama Manga Cast, episode 56. I am your host, Colton, and we are a podcast dedicated to not only discussing Gintama through the manga, but Gintama through the old Viz release of the manga that, unfortunately, was discontinued at about 23 volumes in, but we figured it was worth not just talking about the Gintama manga because not a lot of people talked about were really talking about the Gintama manga when the show first began, but anyway, so with me today, I have a returning special guest, YouTube extraordinaire, next to King Recon, Jess Reviews. How
Hello.
Are you doing, Jess?
I'm good. How are you? Thank you for having me on again.
not to give too much away just yet, because I do plan on talking about our survey results for our Life Lessons podcast survey in the next month or so, but apparently people really like you.
I'm very flattered.
And I will confess, I did have another guest in mind for this episode in particular, but he unfortunately had to drop out, mm-hmm. Which I'll definitely be getting him back on at some point, but unfortunately, you kind of have to have a working computer in order to podcast, so I couldn't really bring him on, so I decided, oh, well, I guess Jess would be the next best person. She's cool, I guess. I guess I like her videos. It's not like she makes me see things in a whole new light or anything.
Even if it takes 3 hours to do so.
Hey, I mean, you take all the time you need, because I'll watch all of it. I can't... See, I don't feel like I have the right to complain about the length of things when I record, like, 2 to 3 hour plus podcasts every other month. So, I mean, whatever, that's a thing. So, anyway, for this episode, we are going to be talking about Chapter 82 of the manga, Like a Haunted House, Life is Filled with Horrors. And we are going to be discussing that chapter title in the Life Lessons segment. And last but not least, we are going to have a anime manga comparison segment of episode 68 of the anime. Bit of a jump there. So, Jess, I haven't had you on in a while. How are you doing?
I am very good. It's now been a while since I've been here, but I'm still obviously a big fan of Gintama, as I would obviously be if I'm on this show.
Well, that's good. That's good. Well, Gintama has an English dub for some reason.
Gintama does have an English dub, which I still have to finish watching, but I'm making my way through a little bit by little bit.
How much of the dub have you seen, just out of curiosity?
I have seen up through the Shinigami or the Reaper arc, so I'm like 2 weeks behind the Crunchyroll release at this point.
Yes, everybody could go watch that at crunchyroll.com/gin-tama, and yeah, I kind of mentioned it about an episode or two ago that, you know, yeah, the dub's out, and I believe is a dub from Ocean Studios, which, as far as I know, I don't think they haven't done a lot in a while. I mean, I don't know, I don't keep up with that particular studio, but I don't know, at the time of this recording, today's kind of the day that Crunchyroll's pretty much going to be uploading the last of that dub.
Yes.
Or at least the last of this particular season, which kind of delves into a lot of the more plot-driven stuff.
Monumental events.
yes, that's another word for it. So that'll, instead of editing the next episode, I'm probably just going to end up watching all of that in a row, and probably going to be taking up a lot of my time today.
It sounds like a good plan.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks I probably won't get too much of the podcast done, but I can use Gintama as an excuse. I could say it was for research. So
yeah,
sure,
yeah.
Why not?
Absolutely.
But I think I kind of touched upon it about an episode or two ago that, you know, generally my opinion of the dub has kind of slightly changed a bit. Like, I don't hate it. I can't say I hate it, because I do enjoy it. I do think it's better than whatever we had gotten in the past with the Benny Zakura movie, for sure. But I feel like watching it more, I feel like there are a few decisions here and there that I'm not sure I completely agree with, but overall I still like it. I don't know, Jess, what do you think about the overall quality of the dub so far, as through as much as you've seen?
Yeah, well, I'm obviously not that very far into it, but my general sentiment regarding the dub would probably just be pleasant surprise. Like, I don't think that anybody was expecting at least I wasn't expecting much from the dub, but the fact that we are getting something that, at least for me, is better than most dubs that I have heard. Even when we thought that Gintama was possibly undubbable, impossible to do in English, and that we've gotten that, it's just a good thing for the series, because even if it doesn't compare to the original, it's still something. It makes the show more accessible to a wider audience, and I'm very happy about that, at least.
Yeah, that's always a good thing. I know there are a few people out there who, yeah, like you said, who thought, yeah, Gintama is just this undubbable thing with too many Japanese jokes, and it's too Japanese and all that. But Crunchyroll actually put up a really interesting feature about kind of basically kind of the pros and cons with kind of the with the, I guess, the overall translation of the dub as we've seen so far, mm-hmm. which I think thankfully addresses one or two issues that I think have kind of come to light with this recent batch of episodes that have been put up on the website.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I'll probably put a link to that in the show notes, you know, for anyone who might be kind of might be skeptical about the quality of the dub and maybe could maybe form an opinion from that or so, you know, give them an idea of maybe what they're getting into. You know, help them understand that, you know, the Gintama dub is, overall, it's better than any of us are expecting, but, you know, there are still some things that, unfortunately, I don't think won't ever work in English.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could never have a perfect Gintama dub script. That's just not possible,
yeah.
ever, in any kind of universe. But leave a link to that in the show notes for people to read that. I personally thought it was an interesting article, and I think that's about what I wanted to talk about as far as the dub goes. Well, I'm hoping to maybe record something with Doctor and Bomber in the future when all of this season of the dub is up, so we can kind of like all talk about it in full once it's out, once we've had enough time to like watch all of it and maybe gather our opinions on it completely.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing set in stone for that yet, but that is something that I really want to do, hopefully within the next couple of months or so. It's definitely something I've been pitching the Doctor, so far it seems like he'd be willing to do it, just need to find the time. But I think other than that, I mentioned our podcast survey earlier. I forgot to mention it in the show last time because I kind of recorded that show before we put up our survey, but you know, if you're listening to this podcast, you know, whether you're a new listener, maybe this is your first episode of the podcast, I don't know, or maybe you've been around since 2013, I have no idea. But no matter how much you've listened to of our show, I would encourage everybody to go take our Life Lessons podcast survey. To basically, I'm looking for some data on, like, you know, where people listen to the podcast and, you know, what guests I should have on, or, you know, who I should bring on to the show more. Like people like Jess. I won't give any specifics, but people really do enjoy listening to Jess from what it seems. A lot of people like listening to her from like the one episode I had her on. So maybe I should have her on more. I don't know. That would be cool.
I'd be happy to.
I certainly enjoy talking to Jess. And I, again, like I said, I definitely enjoy a lot of her content. I think she gives some very like unique and insightful opinions on the series that I don't feel like I really get from most people. So there you go. If you're caught up to the series in particular, and you know, you haven't watched any of Jess's stuff, you really should. But we can plug Jess more at the end of the show. But I think we should just get on with the rest of the show.
All right. Sounds good to me.
This is the manga recap for chapter 82. Like a haunted house, life is filled with horrors. So we're going to start off on the first page here. Basically, our setting is we got a bunch of people just kind of walking around, enjoying what we kind of find out later is the Obon Festival, which Viz at some point in the chapter is nice enough to let us know that Obon is essentially the Japanese holiday where people honor the dead. Sort of a Cinco de Mayo kind of thing, I would say. Sort of similar to that. But, you know, everybody in Kabukicho is out enjoying the festival, except for our three main characters, Kintoki, Shinpachi, and Kagura, who are on their way to a particular attraction. And, you know, Shinpachi and Kagura are basically just complaining, oh man, like, the festival looks like so much fun. I wish we were there again. You know, I want to eat all that greasy carnival fair food, like yakisoba or whatever. I don't know if it's greasy. I'm just going to assume it is. Maybe. I don't know.
I'm not entirely sure what it is either, so.
As someone who grew up in a carny family, I could tell you that carnival food is, especially when you go to the Texas State Fair, everything there is deep fried. Everything. It's some of it's good, some of it is gross. It's
a mixed bag.
Yeah, it's the Texas State Fair is interesting. it could be fun and it could also be soul draining. I'm not even kidding. Like when I don't go there as much anymore because I actually have a job here at home. I don't have to travel around anymore. But you know, this is kind of for people who have been listening to it for a while. Now that I remember, there was one point where I had to like put the podcast on hiatus because my friend John and I, who I used to have on the show, would went to the Texas State Fair to work there together.
Oh, okay.
And like at the Texas State Fair, like working in carnivals and fairs and stuff is it's hard. It is a lifestyle. It's not a career choice.
so you can relate to this chapter.
to a degree, yeah, because like festivals in Japan are basically kind of the same thing, except you know, I'm assuming festivals in Japan don't run nearly as long, because like the Texas State Fair in particular is like, it's not only is like such a big event that like it runs for at least like almost a month.
Oh wow.
And depending on where you work, you are guaranteed to work like 14 to 16 hours a day for an entire month.
Oh good gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes you tired just thinking about it, doesn't it?
Pretty much.
I've worked there at least like 3 times. It's like every time I go back I'm like, why did I come back here again? This sucks. Oh yeah, that's a whole other thing. But yeah, so getting back to the chapter, you know, Shinpachi and Kagura are just kind of bummed out that they don't get to enjoy the festival like everybody else. Which, Gin is like, hey, you know, guys, stop your bitching. Like, you know, we gotta work at this thing here, this yearly attraction that we have at this festival every year. You know, the townspeople, you know, they always take turns working it from year to year. It's kind of a civic duty, you know, it's, you gotta help out your community a little bit. But as Gin and the other two are walking up the stairs to the temple, you know, Gin says, Ochi, the board member from the neighborhood association who runs it every year in particular, he's kind of annoying. He's a bit much.
Just a bit.
And as we turn to the next page, we get introduced to Ochi, who is dressed up for the Kabukicho Haunted House. And basically, Ochi is like, "Hey, Mr. Sakata, how many times have I told you you gotta show up for our meetings and stuff? You know, like we gotta have rehearsals for this thing. Like, what are we gonna do if there's an accident and someone gets injured? You know, like we gotta prepare for that kind of thing. You know, actually, you should go home. You know, if you don't want to be here, just go home. I'll take care of this myself." And again, it's just like, "All right, bye." And Ochi, trying to be the big man, is like, "Hey, well, you know what? Good. I'm glad you see it. That's all I wanted to hear. I forgive you. So now that I forgive you, you can come back. Hey, come back. This is the part where you're supposed to come back. Hey, Mr. Sakata, I got watermelon. People like watermelon. Like, I'm sorry. Seriously, I'm really sorry. I need you, please. I can't do this by myself." And then we
just do not give Gintoki a chance to go home and avoid responsibilities ever, because he will take it.
Yeah, pretty much. Seems like the bribery of watermelon seems to work on the three of them as you know, just sitting around eating slices of watermelon, spitting out seeds and whatnot. And while Ochi is just kind of lecturing them more like, hey, come on, guys, like it's too late to rehearse now. Like, what do you have to say for yourself? And Gin's just like, oh, yeah, we're really sorry. Sorry about that. And Ochi's just like, oh, we're sorry. Well, you don't really look very sorry. And Kagura, in response, throws her piece of watermelon and goes, okay, we're sorry. That's gonna bust my mic quite a bit. Can't wait to re-listen to that. But anyway, so Ochi is just kind of like, that is the rudest apology I've ever heard. I don't think that was an apology at all. So Ochi just continues just talking to the odd jobs and saying, well, you know, what are we going to do if the haunted house, well, like, what are we going to do, you know, without rehearsing our act or whatever, you know, and someone gets injured, you know, it's basically my responsibility to make sure that no one gets hurt. You know, a haunted house is supposed to be fun and accidents are unacceptable. Which Kagura says, you know, you would make a more convincing argument if you didn't have a bunch of injuries and arrows sticking out of you, old man. And, you know, we kind of skimmed it a little bit, but Ochi is basically dressed up like a fallen soldier in war, which he tells Kagura, you know, this is for the role I'm playing. I'm a casualty of battle. And which Kagura says, oh, so getting injured in battle is acceptable then. And Ochi's like, yeah, that's right. But Gin comes in. At first, I wasn't exactly sure what Gin meant by this, but what I think Gin is trying to say here, because he says, you know, battles are instigated by were instigated by the rulers of their own time for their own purposes. So for commoners like us, a battle would be would feel like a lot like an accident. So I think what Gin's trying to say is that, like, I think basically Gin is just trying to still get out of his responsibility of participating in the haunted house by being like, oh, well, you know, we're commoners, or so we don't really want to get injured. We count as accidents. I think that's what he's trying to say.
I think that's a fair assessment. I think he's just like trying to be falsely, I'm trying to make a smart point, but obviously he's just trying to get out of responsibilities. And it's funny because, in retrospect, because Gintoki is actually very familiar with fighting battles like this, that he doesn't really have any desire to fight. But that's just a little bit more of Gintoki backstory, but that's not the point of this chapter.
I didn't think about it like that, but that's a good point. He would probably know the best out of the four of them there, so.
Yeah.
But basically, Ochi is like, do you not like my ideas? Like, I could just, whatever, dude. We'll move on to the next page.
All right, and then Gintoki, he of course begins to enlighten us with regards to his own brilliant ideas as to how to go about doing a haunted house in this day and age where little deceased samurai aren't really going to be scaring these people. Because people are apparently adrenaline junkies nowadays.
Yeah, I think that's a good point that Ochi brings up. Like, you know, when people come to a haunted house, they're looking to get scared. That's kind of their high. Like, that's what you pay for.
Pretty much. And then, of course, the costumes that Gintoki, Kagura, and Shinpachi have now planned in mind are revealed. And they're a little bit more intense, I guess you could say, than what Ochi had in mind with the whole dead samurai getup.
Yeah, like a few recognizable costumes in there, I would say.
We want shrieks of fear, not death cries, because there's a big difference between a ghost and someone with a knife coming at you, you know?
Or a guy in a mask with a chainsaw.
Yeah.
I mean, like, let's be honest. What's a ghost gonna do to you? He's gonna say boo, and then maybe pass through you. Maybe try and possess you if they're a little sadistic, but like, actually, I never really like that. See, that's another thing too. I never like when you really think about it, ghosts really aren't that scary.
It's just like the fear of the unknown sort of thing, I guess.
I guess you can like see through them, and I guess that's kind of scary. But like, yeah, I don't know. I've never really been like that scared.
It's just
ghosts.
The thought of dead things that creep people out. But at the end of the day, it just looks like a person.
Now, if it were something like tangible, like zombies, I can understand the fear of something like that, because they could actually, like, you know, eat you or infect you. That's actually kind of scary.
I thought of becoming a zombie, of course.
Exactly.
All right, but moving on with Gintoki's retort. Kids today are jaded. It takes a lot to scare them. That we can't just go with Ochi's old-fashioned plans. We have to move on to new and more terrifying things.
I hate to go on another tangent. I forgot to ask you, Jess, have you seen Gravity Falls?
That's actually a funny story. I'm watching it. My little sister, she started watching it, and I'm watching it like right now. I finished the first season. I'm a few episodes into the second.
Okay, that's good.
That's really funny.
Gravity Falls is probably one of my favorite cartoons ever, honestly.
It's a good one. It's a good one.
It's so funny. Hearing Gintoki say that just kind of makes me think of that one scene in the Summerween episode where Stan's trying to scare those trick-or-treaters. And the kids are, and the kids pull up like that stupid jump scare video.
That was a funny one.
That's a good
episode. I did enjoy that. Gravity Falls, good. We can talk about that at another time when I finish it. But of course, Gintoki brings it back onto, again, to some sort of fake intellectual philosophical level. What's really scary is the human soul. To which Ochi is not taking any of that. But then to the next page, we have Kagura and Shinpachi's costumes. Kagura is a doll possessed by the ghost of a murderer, but she doesn't.
Yeah, that's not a reference to a movie at all.
No, not at all.
that doesn't remind me of Chucky at all.
But at the same time, that's not exactly what she really looks like. She kind of just looks like Kagura in overalls and with a knife, or a hillbilly sushi chef, and in Ochi's own words. Which is an interesting description.
Yeah, that was an interesting way of describing that. Yeah, I was taken aback by that at first.
Yep. And Shinpachi is the ghost of a Yakuza. But apparently combining two scary things does not make it any scarier.
that's a fair point.
He kind of just looks like a Yakuza with a little ghost thing on his head that all the Japanese ghosts seem to have. With his mustache is kind of nice. He's having a little bit too much fun with this. But of course, Ochi is very upset with them, with good reason, that they need to try on new costumes. Shinpachi giving another idea in the way that goes with a security guard instead. I think that's Shinpachi, because he's still talking about the Yakuza thing. But then at the bottom of the page, we have their actual costumes revealed. Probably a werewolf or a wolf. Probably a werewolf in Shinpachi's case, a vampire in Gintoki's, and a ghost in Kagura's. Arguing against, in the Eurosia, they argue against these costumes based on the idea that there isn't any unity, there's no cohesion in between these costumes, they're just random, disconnected things. But of course, their original costumes were even more so, as Ochi points out. In what universe is there a house that's haunted by Jason and a dead Yakuza?
I love this reply from Gin that his name is Jackson, not Jason. He's an original character. Do not steal.
See, he's having fun with this, even though he does not want to be here. He's enjoying this. He's enjoying picking on Ochi a little bit too much.
Yeah, that's certainly what it seems. But we head on to the next page, and one of the employees at the haunted house runs to let Ochi know that they've got customers coming, which is kind of to Ochi's surprise because it's a little too early. It's not exactly super dark out yet. But Ochi's like, okay, fine. We'll just have to wing it. You know, you guys go to the temple yard and, you know, that's where the haunted house is. And, Gin and Kagura get their weapons out. And Ochi's like, yeah, leave those there.
We're not trying to kill our guests. Please. Please don't do that. We're trying to avoid the meeting discussion earlier about not having accidents.
Though it is interesting. Last year when I went to my local haunted house, my friends had informed me that apparently there are haunted houses that exist where like that are so intense and so like physical that you have to like sign a waiver. Which, personally, I already get kind of spooked at haunted houses in the first place if they're good enough. I don't want the guests manhandling me. I'm sorry. I'm not really a fan of horseplay. I bruise easily. I'm a big softy. No.
I'm not a haunted house person either. Like, I don't, I keep it around Halloween. I don't do it. I'm easily scared.
So we have a father and a son walking through the courtyard here. And, you know, the son's obviously pretty scared. And the father's like, hey, don't worry, son. I'm here. And, you know, the son says, you know, but this place is so spooky, Daddy. I want to go home. And, you know, as they're walking by, they hear the three odd jobs, you know, just talking amongst themselves, basically trying to get Kagura ready. Which I'm going to go off my memory of the anime and try to remember who's talking, because this is...
It's a little bit unclear.
I harp on this on the podcast a lot, but this is something this is like my least favorite thing about the manga, is that is where sometimes I cannot tell who's talking unless I watch it animated.
Yep.
But I think it's Shinpachi trying to help Kagura get her act ready, saying, oh, hey, you know, enough with the dishes already. You know, I told you not to bring them because they're clacking and making noise. You know, we have so many of them. What are they? As Kagura saying, you know, why do I have so many dishes? And something that, Shinpachi kind of helps explain to Kagura, you know, don't you know the story of the dish mansion at Bancho, Kagura? Basically, we kind of skimmed over this, I think, but what Kagura is kind of going for here is that, like, her whole thing as, like, dressing up as a ghost with, like, the stack of plates is basically supposed to be a reference to actually a pretty famous Japanese scary story about, as Crunchyroll puts it on their notes in the anime, is about a maid who was falsely accused of breaking a ceramic plate and subsequently dropped in a well. I've seen this kind of thing referenced in other anime before, mm-hmm. where like you have like the ghost of a maid coming up saying, "Oh, I'm missing a plate for some reason," and I'm like, like out of context, I have no idea why that's scary. But when you know the story, it kind of makes a little more sense. Mm-hmm. But that is essentially what Shinpachi's trying to explain to Kagura, that for this part of the act, you're supposed to come up from the well and talk mm-hmm. about how many dishes you have and stuff, and say, oh.
And I guess for Kagura's part, actually, it makes sense that she doesn't know the story because she's not from Edo.
Yeah, we forget that she's not from Earth. It's easy to forget. She doesn't really look like an alien. But yeah, as Shinpachi says, you know, you're supposed to come up and say, oh, one of my dishes is missing, this is my grudge, and stuff like that. And Kagura is counting her plates, and it's like, oh, actually, one of them actually is missing, huh? And Gintoki says that her missing plate is over there in the courtyard, right in front of the father and son. And Kagura's like, okay, I'll go get it. And Gin's like, no, shut up, we're supposed to surprise them. But like, I didn't notice this until just now, but the kid over top of one of the speech bubbles is like, we can hear everything you're saying. You already ruined the surprise. But they just keep going on, and Kagura's like, oh, but one dish was missing already, so if another dish is missing, that means two dishes are missing. But, you know, Shinpachi's like, Kagura, it's okay, just say two dishes are missing. They're not going to get on you for misrepresenting the story
or
whatever.
One plate short.
Yeah.
Because they're definitely counting the plates in the pile.
The kid's not going to be like, excuse me, miss, it's you have two plates missing in the story, it's one plate missing. but Kagura is intent on keeping the consistency of the story, keeping the canon of this Japanese ghost story down, and being like, no, I gotta go get the plate. And Shinpachi tries to stop her. She falls, breaks all of the plates, and the father and son are just kind of standing there, kind of like in awe of really how shitty this haunted house is, honestly. and Kagura is a bit embarrassed and a bit broken up about her dishes being broken. There's a joke in there somewhere. the kid comes up to Kagura, gives her a piece of candy, and the father commends him for being so nice to the little girl. And the kid's like, "Well, I felt so sorry for her, you know, because her like she really sucked. Like she really shouldn't quit her day job."
If I were in this position, I would be very ashamed of myself.
I would be very embarrassed, too. I would die. But we should move on to the next page.
All right. But she doesn't look very sad anymore at the beginning of this page, because she's very much enjoying the fact that she now has candy. And the candy matters much, much more to her than this entire haunted house thing.
Well, hey, she got candy. Something good came out of it.
I would be happy to have the candy. make the mistake all worthwhile. Yeah. But not for Ochi. What do you mean? Look, I've got candy, you're a vengeful ghost. She's a young ghost, so she needs the candy. She's just 14. You can't blame her. And of course, this was an absolutely pathetic performance on all of their parts, but Kagure is far worse.
It was worse than what I sang at my friend's wedding.
I'm just picturing that now. I wonder what he's saying. Is he a better or worse singer than Gintoki in another ghost arc that we had?
Oh, yeah.
Memories.
I feel like maybe they'd be on the same level. Maybe.
That's what I'm picturing now.
Maybe Ochi would be worse.
I don't know.
But we'll never know, I guess.
We'll never know. But Kagura's real issue with this entire situation is not the fact that she really, really messed this up, but that the dishes are too noisy and that I think we should use frisbees instead. What sort of disgruntled ghost says one frisbee, two frisbees? And Ochi.
I mean, the plates were making noise earlier, so I guess that's a valid
point.
She
does raise a decent point, but I think frisbees are a little bit. Not that the plates are intimidating, but frisbees are a little bit. They take you out of the mood a little bit.
Yeah.
So Ochi decides to set out and show them how to do this whole haunted house thing.
Okay, great. We're just going to get some coffee. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Yep. We don't need to watch you. You can take care of it all yourself now. And of course, he's very upset about this, that they're not listening to him, and it's just terrible. They're being so cruel. And he sets out, and we see two guests beginning to walk up the staircase, which brings us to the next page. And we see who these two guests are, one of them being Otai, and Gintoki Shinpachi and Kagura know that this is bad news. The other one is Oreo, I believe her name is.
Yes. She only appears. Yes, historically speaking, Sakamoto's girlfriend, apparently.
Yes.
I think he might have acted. No, actually, it might have been wife. I don't remember. Nada is listening to this and being like, I told you this like episodes ago and you didn't remember.
But it's interesting that she gets so many appearances early on and then kind of just like disappears for most of the series.
Yeah, because like apparently from what I remember, Nada was telling me that like the actual like historical figure that like or I guess the real person that Oreo is based off or is named after was actually apparently so badass that like the real Sakamoto was like in awe of her.
Yeah.
So it makes that whole thing where Sakamoto's always after Oreo in particular kind of it makes that whole thing a little funnier.
Yeah,
given that
and I guess they carry Sorachi carried over a lot of those characteristics into Mutsu. I guess you could say as well.
I could see that. Yeah,
considering their relationship.
But I will give Oreo this: she's had more appearances than that one girl from when they were like trying to investigate that one like cult.
Yes.
And, like, I don't think she's ever had, like, well, she might
maybe
actually.
Maybe one. She had one, at least.
I feel like I might have seen her in the current arc in the manga, actually, at
yeah,
one point.
I think he's trying to make sure that he actually draws all of the cabaret girls that he introduced at any random point in the series.
Yeah. So that I appreciate that, at least. But
he's trying to remember everyone.
But anyway.
All right, back to this. And Otai, she is unexpectedly very, very terrified of this. She hates all this haunted house stuff. And Oreo's just like, keep on going. It's fun to get scared once in a while. But Otai, she is very, very, very... She keeps insisting on how bad she is with this, that you can't
leave
Jess,
me behind. Yeah, Jess, she's seriously serious about not seriously liking haunted houses. Like, seriously.
Are you making fun of me?
I was making fun of Otai, but I mean, hey, if you wanna... Sure, I guess.
but yes, she is clinging to her friend desperately, to which Oreo says, you are far, far scarier than anything in here, which is absolutely correct. we all know, Gin, Kagura, and Shinpachi know, but unfortunately, Ochi has no idea.
Yeah, poor Ochi.
We get the horrified the horrifying or horrified, I'm not sure how I would describe it, Ochaya's expression in the next panel that she cannot, she can seriously not take this. It's too scary. I'm not half as scary as she is.
Yeah,
and
Ochi's funny.
Beginning to peek up in the last panel as well.
Yes, yeah, so Ochi is, you can kind of see, like, way back there that he's getting ready to pull on a rope, which apparently releases a fake skeleton with a tongue. I don't think a skeleton would still have his tongue, but that's just me nitpicking.
just for added effect.
But yeah. but which scares both Oreo and Otai, and you know, Ochi is very proud of himself, like, oh man, these chicks are too easy. which while Tai is screaming, she's like, oh no, I can't take it, seriously, stop it. And she grabs the skeleton and goes, this is too scary, and like just pummels the shit out of the skeleton in classic Otai fashion. And she's like, oh no, let's go home, Oreo, I don't like this. And Oreo's trying to calm her down. And Ochi is very surprised at Otai and her reaction. And he's like, man, what is with her? She's like, I don't, what have I gotten myself into? And he pulls on another rope to release a few fireballs, which I guess are known as fox fires.
Apparently.
I forget if, because the anime episode kind of makes
it was
note
a little bit
this.
Different. Yeah, they give it like a translator's note or something.
Because I guess Otai shouts "Hintama, Hintama," which is supposed to be like a play on words and refers to these things or whatever. I think they're supposed to be souls or something. I'm not exactly sure, but
yeah,
you know, if fireballs are scary. Sure, they can like burn you.
Yeah, but they don't seem... They're kind of just, like, sitting there. They're not even, like, coming at them or anything.
I would have liked to know what kind of effects he's pulling off there, because I don't think it's as obvious that, like, these are effects at all.
Yeah.
They look kind of real.
Yeah.
But, you know, this scares Otai as well, and so much that she is crushing Oreo to death. And she splurts out some blood, which... you know, this causes Ochi to come out of the bushes to try to stop Otai from possibly killing her friend. And, you know, she's like, you know, even freaking out has its limits. And as Ochi runs to Otai, what happens after that?
He receives a foot to the face. Otai beats him badly as she tends to inflict damage upon significant portions of the cast. I wonder how many... Like, what characters have not been abused by Otai in? I you could probably count it on one hand.
Probably, yeah.
But that's why we love her. And then we get a shot again of a little background shot of, like, the temple gate, and back to Ochi, who is now heavily bruised thanks to Otai. And, probably Gintoki, I'm guessing that. I can't tell exactly who says this quip, but he really looks like a fallen warrior now, apparently. more jokes about Ochi meaning falling, that are scattered across the chapter. He's fallen too far that he's buried in the ground. And he begins lamenting the utter disaster that this year has been so far between Kagura and everybody's mistakes.
Yeah, I know. 2016, am I right?
Pretty much. You're not wrong.
It's a topical humor. I tried. Okay.
Yep.
I'll shut up now.
It's all good. And on to the next page, we have Gintoki continuing to lecture him in his despair that you shouldn't be talking like this at this type of festival. It's more of a New Year's sentiment that he's expressing, that the year was a disaster. And he continues to freak out that it's everything, that all he's worked for is, it's over, he's going to be kicked off the board, that he's struggled for so long to become the head of this haunted house committee or whatever it is in the neighborhood association.
This is all I have.
All that I've worked for in my life. And it's just like, these are interesting life goals that you have, Ochi.
Yeah, especially when we learn more about his
tragic backstory.
Yeah.
That we're about to get in, that he gets no respect at home or work or anything like that, that he was scorned at the office. And it's just all this sad, depressing stuff that's sort of funny, but it's also sad, and you're not really sure whether you should be laughing or be feeling for this guy. It's a common thing that happens when you get these early tragic backstories in Gintama.
Yeah, Ochi mentions that at his job, his coworkers called him the Fallen Warrior, which I feel like is a it's a good, I guess, translation of because Crunchyroll in the anime had noted that Ochi calls himself the Ochimusha, which, yeah, it just means like fallen samurai or something. So I thought, yeah. I thought that was a good enough like translation of that particular.
Yeah,
word.
That, like his persona and this character at the Haunted House is sort of the same nickname that his coworkers gave him. Then we go on to the next panel. He has the difficulties at home with his mother, his wife, and his daughter, which is, we can talk about later, but it's a completely different impression than what we got in the anime. They completely rewrote this little bit of the story, his relationship with his family.
So basically, he lives with the Golden Girls, I guess, because that's what they all look like.
They really do. But I find it interesting that we have like such a short and more depressing version of the story in the manga, and then they alter it in the anime. But we'll talk more about that later. But that in spite of all of this, all of these tragic happenings in his life, that he finally found a place where he could shine, the haunted house at the festivals, that when people were so scared of him, it made him feel just, it was his only taste about what it was like to be the big man. And that he would spend so much time figuring out how to do this because it was the only thing that he was good at that people would notice him for, appreciate, blah, 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 blah. All this sad backstory.
Yeah, Haunted House is kind of his life. Too long, didn't read. with Ochi spouting off his tragic backstory, he gets the motivation to not let things end this way and that he is going to make this Haunted House a success even if it kills him. Which, you know, Gin is like, man, there's no saving him. He'll just keep falling forever. And Kagura mentions that that's just because, you know, his name Ochi, like we mentioned earlier, means to fall. So
jokes that probably read better in Japanese, because like when you're reading this for the first time or watching it for the first time, you keep hearing the Ochi and you know what it actually means, but you don't really get that in the English whenever they say falling.
Yeah, but I think generally speaking, and we'll probably get to this a little later, but I felt like if you pay attention enough, I feel like the jokes come across well enough.
Yeah, definitely.
But, you know, unfortunately, our next customer is one that actually was in the last chapter manga that Jess helped me cover.
Yes.
A reoccurring character, Hidoro.
We love him.
The big, lovable, scary guy who looks like a demon from hell.
With a flower on his head.
Yeah, just to offset the his scary looking appearance. This is pretty. I like that his appearance just like completely contradicts his dialogue, where he's like, "Oh, I'm so nervous. You know, I scare easily. You know, I can't resist coming to haunted houses. Yeah, that's kind of silly, isn't it?" And the attendant's like, "No, not at all. Please don't eat me."
The tears are streaming down his face.
And Hidora's even like, "Hey, why are you crying? I know, you're not the one who has to go through a scary haunted house." And obviously, Gin and Kagura are like, well, Ochi is just doomed to fail.
Pretty much.
As much criticism as I give Viz about their overall treatment and release of the manga, you know, so far this chapter has been handled pretty well. Except for this one dialogue bubble where, if you look closely at a Kagura speech bubble and you read it aloud, it says he's about to live up to his name.
No,
someone typed "live" there twice. That really confused me for a second because I thought the other "live" was like supposed to be another word or something.
I hadn't actually noticed that. My brain just skipped right over it.
Yeah, that's like the one like error about this chapter. Which honestly, if that's like the one thing wrong about this particular chapter, I think Viz has shown a little improvement. But like,
I prefer issues in typing to issues in translation,
or issues with like literally switched dialogue bubbles. That's been a thing that's happened. Yeah,
there's an issue.
Yeah, that's a like if you already couldn't tell who was talking before, then you're already then you're going to have even more trouble when it's like it was the chapter where Kagura becomes friends with Soyo.
Yeah.
And there were some dialogue that was switched between like Kondo and Okita at one point that I was like, "Huh, Kondo wouldn't say stuff like this. That's weird."
That would be really weird.
Yeah. But yeah, so we transition over to Ochi, who is hiding behind the bushes again, ready to scare his next guest, saying, just you wait. I'll do it this time. I'm going to show him what I'm made of. I'm going to finally prove that, you know, I'm not a loser, essentially. And, you know, he hears someone coming. And I'm guessing from the sound effects that Hedoro is just stomping and his footsteps are very loud.
Yes.
And Ochi is obviously taken aback. Was not expecting a guest to look so scary. Like, you know, why would a monster come to a haunted house? Like, he's like 10 times scarier. You know, how am I supposed to scare him? And, you know, he's about to try and leave and run away when a disembodied voice, who we know it's Gin, but he's just asking Ochi, you know, are you serious? Are you really going to run away? And then what happens on the next page?
And Gintoki comes around to actually be helpful for once, even for all the abuse that he's given Ochi over the course of this chapter. Now that he knows that he was in a rough situation, of course he's going to try and help him out. Because that's just what Gintoki does, even though he's a little bit rough around the edges. but this is... he's challenging him, are you going to run away again? Are you going to keep falling, losing, whatever, all that fun stuff? And that this is his chance. That if you can scare this guy, of course you're in a good place. And he just needs to be brave, let his courage be tested this time around. And then we turn around to see Hetero, very, very scared. And we see the little text bubbles surrounding him. Two dishes, three dishes, blah, 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 a bunch of dishes.
Yeah, Kagura a bunch of
beginning
dishes.
To get into character. But that one of the dishes is missing. And we see Kagura appearing in the well. And this is my grudge. She's finally getting into character properly. And Ochi's just like calling out to her, no, don't do that. Don't do that in front of him. But he is very, very scared of this. And he starts running away, even though he is much to Ochi's surprise. On to the next page, and we bring back the frisbee joke from earlier. Shinpachi is counting the frisbees. One frisbee, two frisbees, a bunch of frisbees, and one of the frisbees is missing this time. And we get the great panel of him holding the frisbee while he's in the wolf costume. And it makes absolutely no sense, but he's still scared, so it's all good.
I appreciate how much the costume he's wearing just kind of looks like Sadaharu.
It does.
It doesn't really look like a wolf. Yeah, I like that little detail too. That's cute. I would own a Sadaharu frisbee.
Get the whoever makes the Gintama merchandise on that. It like actually appeared in the show. We need to make one. And of course, Gintoki gets in on all of this as well, counting garlic because he's a vampire, even though it doesn't really make any sense that the vampire would be counting the garlic, as Ochi points out, but it doesn't really matter anyway, because we're just trying to scare this guy who is very easily scared, so it doesn't really matter. And this is his Dracu grudge. And fun translation on Miz's part, but I'm just like, I get the joke that they're trying to make, I guess.
I thought that was pretty good, but I think I enjoyed Crunchyroll's translation of the joke, because I think they translate it to, like, this is my Dracu curse or something. I thought that might have been just a little better, but I think
the original joke is pretty stupid to begin with, so it's okay if the translation sounds a little bit weird. And then they call Ochi into the fallen warrior, that his pockets are full of snacks, and then they begin to encourage him to begin to count the snacks in the same way that we've counted dishes, frisbees, and garlic in an attempt to finish this.
Sunaku.
This is so funny in the anime. I don't remember why I was laughing so much, but just hearing the voices over and over and over again. And they're encouraging him, saying snack over and over.
Yeah, so they just keep chanting snack, 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 and all the while Ochi's just thinking to himself, you know, I always run away from problems at home and at work, and it's time that I fought back. It's high time that I faced my fears. You know, is that what their chanting is trying to tell me? And Ochi, like a badass, takes a bite of the snack and gets into character saying, one snack, two snack, a bunch of snacks, and all the while thinking, you know, okay, I'm going to do it. I'll fight. I'm not running away anymore. You know, goodbye, weakling. Farewell to the fallen warrior I was before today. And Ochi jumps at Hantaro and says that this is my grudge, Banzai. And unfortunately gets punched in the face by Hidoro.
Now, why did he get punched in the face?
Well, Ochi got punched in the face because, you know, he was about to step on a bug. And that's Hidoro's thing, is that, you know, hey, you know, it's wrong to take a life. You were about to step on this poor, adorable little beetle. Or ladybug. I'm assuming it's a ladybug.
Yeah, I assume a ladybug, too.
But you know, Hantaro says that he really enjoyed the haunted house, so that's good, I guess. Kagura essentially is just like, that's our Ochi! And that's just kind of how the chapter ends.
Yep. Very sudden, but...
Cue studio audience laughter. play roll credits. Play the theme to Different Strokes. Okay, so what'd you think of the chapter, Jess?
I don't know. I enjoyed this chapter more than I sort of remember. Like when you sent it to me to reread and then watching the episode again, I just enjoyed the story more than I remembered it, because like it didn't really stick out in my mind from my first watch of it. Like I remember that it was a thing, but I didn't really remember that much about it. Yeah. So I enjoyed going through it again.
Yeah, I thought this chapter, while it is super dialogue heavy.
Yes, and with a very sudden ending as well. But
yeah, that just seems to kind of be a thing with the last few volumes that we've covered on the show. The chapter where Gin and Hasegawa meet that one gambling guy kind of ended suddenly. And then,
yeah.
And then I know we've talked about it on the show before about how the one hunter guy and the Masamune the bear sort of... I mean, that one didn't really end suddenly, but like... It is one of those things where Sorachi's commented before about how, like, you know, sometimes he doesn't feel like he has enough pages to really end the story the way he wants to. But I could see this chapter in particular just being like a, like, I don't think it's a bad thing that it ended this way, because it ends on a punchline, which is funny because of like how the anime ends. But we'll get to that.
Yeah, it's completely different.
I thought overall it was funny. And you know, it's just like, I don't want to say this because like, I don't want it to like come off negative, because I don't mean it in a negative sense, but like, it is just sort of a, like a typical chapter of Gintama, or, you know, the guys have to do this thing they don't want to do, and, they got a job to do, and,
yep.
And we have our character for the chapter who... is some kind of joke or wordplay or something, and he has a tragic backstory, and then Gin's like, okay, guy, I'll help you out. Try to be all inspiring or whatever. And then
you can hear the music, even though we're just reading the manga. you know which track it is.
You can hear the piano being played 5 feet away, and you know. It seems like it's going to be like a nice thing with a nice heartwarming message about you know, bettering yourself as a person or whatever, but then just ends on a joke.
Yep, classic Gintama, classic Sorachi.
That's, you know, it's vintage Gintama, but and it's like it's not much more than that, but that's not really a bad thing.
Yeah, you can still enjoy it on that basis.
I guess with these more episodic, you know, gag chapters, was there what did you think was, like, I guess the funniest gag or moment in the chapter, in your opinion? If you had one.
It's going through it again. I kind of like when they're all just chanting snack over and over again. I don't know why. I just find that really amusing. Because I'm just like picturing actually witnessing that and how absolutely ridiculous it is. These three guys in these stupid costumes are encouraging him to come out by chanting snack over and over and over, just staring directly at him. They're like clapping. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I in general really like the I just like their first costume changes or whatever.
Yeah.
because I really do kind of like that sort of general commentary of, oh yeah, kids really aren't scared by much these days. They're jaded.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that kind of commentary is usually pretty funny.
Yeah.
But this is one of those chapters where I wonder how like somebody like Josh Dunham would have felt, because whenever I have him on, he's usually the thing he kind of focuses on the most is, you know, kind of the layout of the chapter overall, like how do the panels flow from one to another, what is the art like, and I feel like from that perspective, there's not really much to talk about with this chapter.
Yeah, it's pretty sparse.
Like, this is not supposed to be like a super visually appealing chapter.
Nah, it kind of goes with it being so dialogue heavy that they kind of just show a few key images, and it's just like, but so many things are technically happening on every single panel, and it's just like it doesn't really show all of them.
Uh huh.
If that makes sense.
I think really the most like sequential moment in the chapter is probably where the kid is giving Kagura that piece of candy. Then that's really about it. And even then, that's not really like,
yeah, it's
it flows well.
There's more in the anime for that. They prolong the moment. We can talk more about that later. But it was something that I enjoyed from the anime, the way that they expanded upon the very sparse material that we have in this chapter.
Yeah. It didn't look like amazing or anything, but it flowed well at least.
Yeah, yeah.
But like the dialogue really carries this chapter, and it carries a lot of the comedy. Which, you know, Sorachi can be good at, but, you know, when last time I had Bomber on, we kind of talked about how, you know, Sorachi at this point doesn't really do, he does a lot more telling than showing.
Yes, definitely.
And it's kind of rare for him at this point to really tell his stories through his visuals.
Yeah, he gets better at it as the series goes on, thankfully. And so that's kind of what's so fun about going back to this early stuff, to just see how much he has grown as far as, but both in terms of writing, but especially in art, from an artistic perspective.
Oh yeah, he's definitely a lot better of an artist.
Infinitely.
But yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was good. And
yeah.
That's really about it. There's not really much else I want to say about it other than thank you for covering the chapter with me, Jess.
Thank you for having me.
But, you know, just in general, you know, if you guys enjoyed either reading this chapter or maybe, you know, maybe for some reason you don't have the manga in front of you while we're covering it. I mean, I guess you don't have to. I like to think we try and do a good job of covering it as best we can, but it would probably help if you had it in front of you so you could follow along with us. And if you want to do that, Gintama's technically, you know, it's been discontinued, but, you know, thankfully it doesn't look like it's out of print just yet. Hell, I have witnessed Viz like reprint volumes of the manga, so obviously I'm sure they're aware that people are still willing to buy
interest.
It. Yeah. Unfortunately, not enough interest for them to pick it up again, but enough interest for them to keep it.
Maybe someday.
Maybe someday. I don't know. Never say never. We got a dub, so I mean,
yeah. That's honestly that's more unexpected than more translated manga, at least for me.
So hey, never say never. But you know, if you want to buy whatever's left, Viz actually has a entry. Because like Viz, I don't know if you know this, Jess, but Viz does this really cool thing where you can go to their website at viz.com and and they have like different pages for all of their different licenses and stuff, and you can and they have pages for each volume of manga they've ever produced, and they give you like links to different retailers, you know, where you could buy them from. Like,
okay,
you know, if you go to viz.com/gin-tama, you can look for the page for volume 10, which is what we're covering at the moment, and they'll give you links to like Amazon, Right Stuff, Barnes and Noble. So they'll give you places, you know, where to purchase their series, and I think that's a pretty cool thing. And
yeah,
if for any reason you guys listening have any trouble trying to find that volume in particular, the link for that volume will be up in the show notes for this episode. But yeah, you can definitely go to viz.com, and if you want to do some compare and contrasting, like see which place has like, you know, a manga for like the best price, you know, depending on your budget. That's usually how I shop for all of my manga too. So
I tend to use stuff like Amazon, just because you can get like used copies too, and just get anything for much, much cheaper. That's where I buy most of my books, manga included.
Yeah, I like buying a lot of my stuff secondhand too, but
yeah.
You know, Amazon's good. Right Stuff's really great too.
Yeah.
That's definitely a retailer I definitely want to support in the future more. But yeah, so just go to viz.com/gin-tama and you can find all 23 volumes there available for purchase from different retailers. And you know, unfortunately, as Jess kind of mentioned earlier, I guess it's not really so much a secret anymore that, you know, whenever I have people on, if they don't have the volume, I have to literally scan my book, clean up pages, and send them over to my guests. Yes. so they have something to help recap with me, because, you know, sometimes they might not have the book on them, or...
Yeah, I still need to get them. I will.
I mean, or even if, like, they have the money for it and they, like, maybe our schedule's too tight or something, and we gotta record the podcast now or something, you know? Mm-hmm. I usually have to do that for a lot of my guests. So, you know, I would hope that one day, maybe if Viz doesn't pick up Gintama for another print release, I would think a digital release would at least be a little more feasible.
Yeah.
So if you guys are interested in a digital release of Viz's past release of Gintama, and that's something you would actually purchase and buy, you know, you want to let Viz know on Twitter. @VizMedia, that's their Twitter handle. Let them know that, hey, you know, you'd be interested in buying their release of Gintama digitally. You know, be polite and just let them know they have interest. They listen to a lot of their feedback. They pay attention to this kind of stuff. So the more you tell them you want it, you know, the more we can kind of edge them into maybe convincing them to do something like that someday. But that's enough of me shilling for Viz. we should get on to the life lesson segment. This is the life lesson segment for lesson 82. Like a haunted house, life is filled with horrors. So, Jess, I think this is a pretty, pretty factual statement.
Yeah.
I feel like this is just another one of, like, Sorachi's, like, life advice kind of things, or whatever. I don't know. Hey, what are some horrors that we encounter in everyday life?
In everyday life? this is a good, for whatever reason, the most mundane of things popped in my head first. Having to commute to school, all the traffic. It's such a silly thing to be complaining about, but that was the first thing that came to my mind.
Well, hey, traffic is horrible.
It really is.
I mean, I don't drive, so I don't have to worry about that.
I drive to school for an hour there and an hour back every single day.
That sounds inconvenient a little bit. I guess it could be worse.
Yeah, it's not terrible, but it's terrible. It's as terrible as you make it.
Let's see. Here's another horror in life. Spending money. That's horrible.
Yes, trying to keep track of the money that you have to spend, and then having to work and do things you don't want to do, like the lovely cast in this chapter does.
responsibility. Yeah, that's terrifying. Gin is definitely scared of that, as well as Ghost. What was another thing I was going to mention? Going back to spending money. Yeah, so like, at this point in my life, I'm sort of living paycheck by paycheck. Like, I'm constantly, like, every week trying to decide on, like, how much money I want to have in cash, how much I want to have, like, on my debit card, and then how much I need to put and, like, save,
yeah,
you know, for a rainy day. And that can be a bit stressful, because it's like, man, but if I put money in my savings account, I might just have to take it out anyway. And then if I take out money out of my savings account too many times, they're going to lock my account. It's really scary. Money is scary.
I'm fortunate enough to still live with my parents, but it's still enough on the mind.
Yeah, because like I'm always trying to make sure I'm like, Because like I have to save money for like when I take the bus.
Yeah.
That's like at least $10 or $12 out of my pocket every week. Yeah. I take the bus a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also have to like make sure like, okay, what, because like if I have my friend over, because unfortunately she doesn't have a car at the moment, I sometimes mm-hmm. have to like get her an Uber or something. I got to make sure I have like $10 or $15 or something, make sure I can get her a ride home, yeah. just stuff like that. So like I hate it when I have my budget set out for the week until I get my next paycheck, and then it's like, I have to spend $100 on this thing or something. Like, well, there goes $100 that I was trying to save.
There it goes.
Right down the toilet. So that's scary, definitely.
Yep. Money.
money is scary. But I guess we could just move on to how we think this relates to the chapter.
All right. I think it's pretty straightforward because obviously, first and foremost, we are working at a haunted house.
Yes.
Which should be horrifying. And this haunted house is horrifying, but not really necessarily in the way that it's intended. That it's actually like a scary thing that you go to for fun. It's just horrifying because it's a failure in many, many ways. But of course, it draws those connections to how miserable Ochi's life is because of, like, what led up to him being in this position. And then, of course, the situation itself, which is not happy for him or anyone involved.
No.
So
yeah.
Just haunted houses are scary. Life is scary sometimes. Just how it is.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Not really much else I want to add to that. So I guess does the chapter title make sense?
It does. I think it's a very Gintama chapter as well, because like the very Gintama chapter title. Just because so many episodes or stories or whatnot, they're just like, yes, life can be really miserable sometimes. And that's just how it is, and you just make what you can of that.
Yeah, Gintama is very good at reminding us all that life really does suck. but, yeah, I think that's about it for the segment. There's not really much else I want to say. I mean, you know, if you guys listening at home, you know, you have any thoughts on this chapter title in particular, what are some horrors that you experience in everyday life from your life in particular? Or, you know, if you have any thoughts on any chapter titles we may have covered in the past or any chapter titles we may have not covered yet, but are slowly getting to, you can email us at gintolifelessons@gmail.com. We would love to hear your thoughts on these and other life lessons, and we'll read them on the show. So I think maybe we should just move on to the next segment.
All right. Sounds good to me.
This is the anime mock comparison segment for episode 68 of the anime. And I will not lie, you know, when I found out that this was the next chapter of the manga I was covering on the show, I totally thought, oh yeah, well, I guess the anime is not going to have much for us to talk about. I could probably just skip that segment altogether. But no, apparently I totally forgot about pretty much like the second half of this episode.
Yeah, they change a lot for this one.
Yeah, so I guess we should just start off. So the episode actually starts off with a shot of a Just Away wind chime.
Yes.
And it's obviously summer outside because the odd jobs are like, man, it's so hot. I don't want to do anything. Let's just cancel the episode, guys. Which, you know, they don't do that. That would have been funny, but they don't do that.
They say they will all the time, but we know not to trust them.
Yeah. And basically, like, the first half of the episode is pretty straightforward. There's not much that they add to the material at that point that I really want to talk about. I do like the part where Kagura is eating her candy and then Ochi makes fun of her.
Yeah.
And has that exact same, like, cute Kagura face on. I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, I think the main difference is for the early stuff in the episode, I feel like they sort of fill it out a little bit more. I think when we were talking about the manga, we were discussing like how sparse the art and paneling was and whatnot in the manga chapter. I feel like they expanded upon it quite a lot in the episode itself that I enjoyed. It made everything feel a little bit more spaced out because the thing about Kagura messing up with the dishes, like pretty much everything else that was happening, Oshi yelling at them, so much of it was based upon how awkward the entire situation was, and they granted like a lot of space in between everything that happened, and I think that that really added something of a comedic effect to the episode that I preferred in the anime to the manga.
Yeah, that like awkward silence and timing during that scene in particular, I thought was very well done.
Yeah, they didn't have that much in the manga because it was like so much was packed into the 19 pages that we got.
Well, I mean, also like with manga, you can kind of read at your own pace. So yeah. Like, I feel like depending on how fast you're reading it, you're not gonna get that set. You're not gonna get that atmosphere through just reading it. I mean, I guess you can kind of tell by the way it's sequenced, maybe. That's kind of what Sorachi's going for. Mm-hmm. But, like, that's the kind of thing that, like, I think when you're watching something, like, animated at, like, when it's timed in particular, I think you have a little more room to play with that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I guess pretty much, like, the second half of this episode is different up to a point, because we do kind of expand upon Ochi as a character and, like what he goes through or what he went through up to the point he started heading the haunted house during the festival. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of mostly the same thing, you know, like, oh, you know, his job sucks. He's basically placed in, like, the back of the room because he's kind of useless at work, unfortunately. And like we mentioned in the manga segment, everybody refers to him as Ochimusha or the Fallen Warrior or whatnot. And we get, like, scenes of him at work, so we see, like his boss yelling at him for whatever, and, like, all of his, like, co-workers, like, clearly sneering at him, mm-hmm. which I felt sorry for him there.
With all of his sad expressions and looking all disheveled.
Yeah. And then this is where things start to kind of take a different turn, because, like, apparently he gets laid off from his job, which basically helps his wife decide to just leave him.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, she takes their daughter along with them. So, like, he ends up alone.
Yeah.
And then that's when we find out, oh, well, you know, he basically found solace in working on, like, the haunted house and his routines and, like, him, like, working on props at home. And, like, you even get to see, like, he has, like, werewolf and Dracula props. And he's working on his, like, fake skeleton and whatnot, which I thought were all nice details. Mm-hmm. I think, actually, they add a nice scene where, you know, Ochi is telling the odd jobs about his sob story, essentially, and Ochi's like, well, you know, I'm so embarrassed to be telling you guys about all this. I'm sure, you know, how much work I put into this silly thing is, you know, probably comes off as just silly to you, essentially. But I thought this really, like, emphasized kind of the message of the story a bit,
mm-hmm.
where, like, you know, Gin tells him that, you know, hey, there's nothing to be embarrassed about, like, about this at all, because, you know, it's something that Ochi is really passionate about, and as long as he gives it his all, you know, his hard work will show, and, you know, people will respect that about him. And I thought that was a really nice message.
Yeah.
And then that's essentially transitions into him trying to scare Hidoro, which I thought kind of just built that up even better.
Yep.
Because it's like, oh man, like, Gin gives him a pep talk only to have eventually in the episode his attempts to just fail epically, essentially.
And of course the moments where Kagura and Shinpachi and Gintoki, they all turn around, like their final line, it's just like the screen gets all, I forget exactly what it was, like it turned gray and scratchy, just like to add to the apparent horror effect that we're supposed to be going for. But,
oh yeah, that I forgot to mention. Yeah, that was a good detail. I thought that added to the atmosphere, even if it was silly.
Yeah, I was just laughing so much when I was watching that scene. When I was rewatching it yesterday, it was great.
And then about like 18 minutes or so into the episode, because we were talking about how it felt like this chapter of the manga kind of ended a little suddenly. Like, it basically ended on a punchline. Oh, like, Ochi, that's his gimmick. He fails a lot. Because wordplay, and that's just how mm-hmm. that ends. It ends on a punchline, which we'll get to about the anime in a second. But about 18 minutes into the episode, you know, after Ochi is done trying to scare Hidoro. Obviously, he's disheartened once again after his attempt to scare Hidoro, and after all that fails. And, you know, he feels like he wants to give up.
Yeah.
But, you know, Gin basically starts giving Ochi another pep talk, basically telling him to, you know, stop running away and to test his courage and to basically stand up and protect the one thing that he hasn't lost yet. So at this point, like, we get another customer, get another attendee for the haunted house walking through, and Ochi basically is trying to psych himself up, trying to motivate himself to try again, all while thinking about everything he's lost and thinking about his home life, you know, like thinking back on like him looking at his family. And basically, I like that scene where like he's in the other room in his house and he's just kind of looking at his wife and his daughter. Yeah. And he just like, you have that moment where he like kind of looks down and you could tell that he just like, he just feels like a total failure.
Yeah.
And it's really disheartening.
Those scenes actually with his wife and daughter, they sort of like cast an entirely different light on the situation, because his relationship with his family in the manga is just like, yes, my mother, my wife, and my daughter, they're all constantly abusing me, and it's awful. But here, it's a little bit more poignant, his relationship with his family, and it's sort of just like it adds a layer. It makes him more sympathetic to me, instead of he's just like constantly getting abused. It's someone makes him.
He's not just
the
joke.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, he feels more like a person.
Yes, absolutely,
and not just a punchline, kind of like how the manga sort of made him out to be. And I appreciate that.
I don't think the anime makes him any less of a punchline, but he's just like a punchline with a little bit more depth now, which I appreciate.
Which. And I know I'm kind of skipping ahead here a little bit, but yeah, at the end, like, even the odd jobs are like, hey, like, this story ended, like, on like, too happy of a note. We need a punchline. And so, yeah, they try to, like, kind of force a punchline there, just emphasizing what Ochi's name means and all that, which I thought was kind of funny, like, keeping in mind what the manga kind of does, because the manga sort of gets away with that.
Yeah.
But yeah, essentially, yeah, like, Ochi psyching himself up as his next customer is walking up to him. You know, he tries to scare this person, and the person he's trying to scare ends up being his wife. And, you know, which takes him by surprise, and he ends up tripping over a rock, and he messes up. But, you know, like, we get this kind of, like, nice moment where they're just kind of, like, looking at each other, like, trying to take in the situation. They're both trying to wonder what their next move is, what they want to say to each other. And I appreciate the silence in this moment.
Yeah.
There's no music at all up until the end. But, you know, Ochi tries to tell his wife, Okaru, to come back to him. But, you know, he bites his tongue. And, you know, that makes Okaru laugh. And basically that, you know, Okaru is just like, you know what, I get it. I know what you mean. Like, this is just how you are. You know, you were always so silly. Like, I'll come back to you. Let's just go back to being a family, essentially. Mm-hmm. And basically, Okaru and Ochi walk off. And that's basically, like, the end of the episode.
Yep.
And, yeah, like, I really liked, like, it came off as a surprise to me, because, like, yeah, I barely, like, you know, I remembered this story.
Yeah.
But, like, I didn't remember any of, like, the specifics about it until I started watching and reading it again.
Yeah.
I totally forgot that that any of this was included in the anime at all.
For me, it was actually the opposite. Like, I didn't remember the details, but I'm like, oh yeah, the wife comes back at the end. So when the manga chapter just ended, I'm just like, wait, are you sure this is the end? Did you forget to send me some pages of the chapter? But then I was like, oh yeah, it just ends right there. So it's just the difference between the two. I just like that the anime story, it feels more rounded out to me. Ochi feels more rounded out as a character. The episode, everything about it just feels more complete. Instead of just paying attention to the whole 19-page limit that Zurachi has, you actually have a whole 25-minute episode to fill, and that just, it filled in the gaps very well, I think, and I really liked the anime episode.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that I like the anime episode better, too, honestly. Yeah, like, I pretty much agree with everything you said. Like, whatever material they added into the episode really made this feel like a more complete story, and just really helped kind of, I guess, characterize Ochi as more than just a punchline, which I really enjoy. But I think that's about it, unless you had anything else you wanted to say.
Yeah, that's about it. I mean, just Gintama, with regards to early episodes in general, I think that because a lot of the early manga material does have this same feeling at this chapter. It's just like, oh yeah, it's just like dialogue that has a sudden ending. I feel like the anime did a very, very good job early on with rounding out the material, because even though it wasn't as, I don't know, as good at quote unquote as later material, it never felt incomplete to me while I was first watching it. And just like looking at the comparison between the two, it makes me appreciate what Sunrise did with the anime in its earlier days more than I had initially.
Yeah, it's definitely a common thing with a lot of these earlier chapters. Hell, I think the first one I noticed this with was when Hidora was first introduced. Chapter definitely ended kind of suddenly. And the one with, I can't really say the chapter with the Mahjong, because actually all that Mahjong stuff is...
It's completely different.
It's completely different. But yeah, that chapter ends kind of incompletely not incompletely, but it does kind of end suddenly. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, well, I guess it's over.
Yeah.
A lot of these manga chapters early on do kind of feel like that, but I'm curious to kind of keep track of when it comes to these one-shot stories, to kind of keep track of when Sorachi gets a little better at what few pages he has week to week, like how well he starts using them, and like how he uses that space to tell a story. But
yeah. And also one thing that he seems to let go of as time went on, the whole one chapter, one story limit. He seems to be just like, yeah, yeah, I can take two chapters to tell a comedy arc. I can take three. He can go on for as long as he wants. He's less limited by the constraint, by a one chapter constraint.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that is something I noticed too. Though I feel like with some of these stories, I don't think some of these stories could really fill two pages.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely not. But
like I don't think this one could have filled two chapters.
Probably.
What did I say? Two pages.
You said two pages, but I know you meant two chapters.
Yeah, yeah, like this and stuff like I said earlier, the Hidora story and the gambling little one shot thing. Yeah, those I don't think could be filled in two chapters. But stuff like again with the odd jobs, mushroom hunting, and them running into Masamune the bear.
Yeah,
I think that something like that probably could have been. Could have been done in two chapters, because I remember that chapter in particular actually was like somewhat extended somehow.
Yes, yeah.
I don't remember
exactly how either, but I remember thinking that when I read the manga, and as compared to the episode that I watched, like there are definitely differences here.
Yeah, so I don't know why that story was extended in particular, but even then, I still felt like the anime did a better job of kind of emphasizing the relationship between those two characters in general when it came to that story. But
yeah.
Yeah, it's a case by case thing, but
yeah.
It is really interesting to see how Sorachi makes use of his space and his limits or whatnot, especially this early on in his career, because this is still like pre chapter 100.
Yeah. That being said, there's definitely a real charm to the whole. It's just like, oh, yep, we're gonna tell one short little story in the 19 page that we have, one episode. It's completely disconnected from everything else, but it's just this one. It's a little world of its own.
Yeah. But, with all that being said, I think the anime wins this round. Definitely preferred this episode over the manga. But, anyway, so I guess without all that out of the way, if you want to watch this episode of the anime, that's episode 68, you can pretty much watch every episode of Gintama if you live in the U.S., you can watch it for free. Unfortunately, not so much in Canada. Nada has been, has made sure to correct me in that apparently in Canada you have to have a premium Crunchyroll subscription, otherwise you can't watch anything over there, which is a shame. But
that's weird.
It is weird.
I mean, and I knew that there it was more limited, but I didn't know that you could still get it if you had the premium. That's odd.
But you know, if you live in the U.S. in particular, I know for sure that you can watch every episode of Gintama for free on Crunchyroll, or if you want to watch it, I mean, watch some of Gintama in HD. Not all of it's available in HD, but if you want to watch some of it in HD, you can. You know, Crunchyroll's a pretty good service. Like, I've talked to the people behind the service who helped run it before, and, you know, they're pretty cool guys. I enjoy talking to them. Hopefully I can have them on the show one day. But, you know, they run a pretty great service. Hey, they just reached a million subscribers about a week or two ago, so I think that really says something about their service. And, you know, I recognize that, you know, they're not always perfect, but I think they run a good enough operation. Like, I think they deserve the amount of subscribers that they have.
Yeah.
And, you know, hell, even now they're airing the new season of the anime. You know, if you're interested in that, you should definitely get a subscription to keep up with that week to week. It's I've been saying get a subscription, but I failed to mention that the subscription is, I want to say, $6.95 a month.
Yeah, something like that.
I would say it's pretty affordable.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I would say it's definitely worth it. You get access to pretty much everything. And hey, you can even watch the Gintama dub on there, too.
Yeah.
So that would be interesting.
Or you can rewatch all of Gintama right now if you really feel up to it.
I'm probably going to do that as soon as the anime's over, honestly.
Oh, yeah, me too. Me too. I'm not gonna be able to let it go.
I'm going to start my own Twitter account for it because I'm going to be tweeting about it so much. but, yeah, so that's go to crunchyroll.com/gin-tama and just go watch it. Just, what are you doing? Stop listening to this podcast if you haven't watched it for some reason. Go watch it. So, yeah, I think that's about all I can say. Oh, and support the... support the DVD and Blu-rays for the English dub when those eventually come out. No release dates on those just yet, but we'll let you know as soon as we have one. But I think that's going to be about it. Let's go to the next thing. And I think that's going to be about it for the show. We covered chapter 82 of the manga, and we even covered the chapter title during our life lesson segment. Like a haunted house, life is filled with horrors. And we even talked about the episode 68 in the anime manga comparison segment. Jess, thank you so much for coming on. I really enjoy talking to you, and I hope we could do this again sometime soon.
Absolutely. Again, thank you for having me. It's a lot of fun.
But yeah, so... if I didn't, you know, do enough shilling for you already earlier in the show, you want to talk just a little bit about your YouTube channel and, you know, just what exactly you talk about whenever you have the time to?
All right. So, yep, as said before, I have a YouTube channel where I talk about anime and manga, Gintama especially. I try to, as much as time permits, get content out pretty much every week with regards to new manga chapters and new episodes. I'm a little bit better at keeping up with the manga, considering that it's something that I'm going through for the first time, and I'm a little bit better at keeping up with talking about it. But I have reviews up for most of the series as I was going through it for the first time last year, so pretty much all of the serious arcs I have reviews up for that if you are interested in watching that sort of thing. My thoughts as I was going through the series for the first time, those were all a lot of fun. But now it's more recent stuff, everything that's happening from week to week. In addition to Gintama, right now I am reading JoJo's Bizarre Adventure for the first time. I finished the, recently finished the anime, and I'm now currently reading part 5 of the manga. By the time that this gets out, I will probably be finished with that, but I've got reviews out for, a lot of the parts and reaction videos and stuff like that as well. After I catch up with JoJo, I'm reading all of the manga. I will be watching The Legend of the Galactic Heroes, or getting back up to date with that, because I kind of stopped. And after that, One Piece. That's sort of the plan for the next couple of months. JoJo, then Legend of the Galactic Heroes, then One Piece. All fun stuff.
When can we expect any Gravity Falls reviews?
Gravity Falls reviews? Do you really want Gravity Falls reviews? Maybe I'll make a one video about it, but I don't think it'll be a regular thing.
I am being serious. If you decided to do a Gravity Falls review, I would watch it.
All right, I might do it.
Because I actually would like to know what you think about that show.
All right, we'll see.
just a suggestion.
It might be fun.
But yeah, I sounds like you're doing a lot of cool stuff on your YouTube channel. I'm looking forward to your I'm sure it'll be out by the time this is out, but I'm looking forward to seeing your review on Stardust Crusaders.
Yes. Hopefully that will be out within like the next 2 days.
Yeah.
I've been putting it off for long enough.
But yeah, so you want to check out Jess's YouTube channel. That's at Jess Reviews.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I don't think, just like Recon, I don't think Jess has a super conveniently, like, named link for that, so,
nah.
You know, I'll probably leave a link for her YouTube channel in the show notes for this episode, You can just search Jess Reviews on YouTube, and I'm sure you'll find her.
Yep.
But yeah, definitely go watch her stuff, especially if you're a Gintama fan and you're a little more current. Definitely some worthwhile stuff there. But what about your Twitter, Jess?
Yes, I also have a Twitter. I try to keep up with it. I'm more of a lurker than actually saying things. I'm actually on Twitter a lot, but I don't say terribly much.
You just take a look at what all of us are talking about. You're like,
kind of, and I might pop into a conversation from time to time. or when, like, people try to talk to me. So if you talk to me on Twitter, I will talk to you back. But the Twitter handle is @Jess_reviews.
So, yes. So just follow Jess however you can. She probably is just... I shouldn't say probably. She probably... I just said probably again. She's one of my favorite guests to have on the show so far. And I'm hoping to have her on hopefully sometime again soon in the next couple of months. So... I hope everybody enjoyed this episode, and I forgot I had to plug my stuff first. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can follow me at SniperKing323. That's SNIPERKING 323. I talk to a lot of people, and all that. I tweet about a lot of things. If you don't get enough of my opinions on this show, you'll get plenty of them there. Besides this podcast, I also record about Detective Conan /Case Closed on One Podcast Prevails. That's at onepodcastprevails.com. And it's structured just kind of like this show. Same idea. We cover the Detective Conan manga as it's actually being released by Viz still from the very beginning. That's a lot of fun. I'm a pretty big fan of Detective Conan, even though I'm not super caught up. Hey, there you go, Jess. There's your next project, Detective Conan.
That's a little bit long. Someday.
Hey, I'm just saying, think about it. Wink. So there's that. And if you want to hear me talk about just manga in general, there's the Manga Mavericks podcast over at allcomic.com. I record that bi-weekly with my friend Sid, who I've had on the show before. If you listen to us talking about the Ubibozu arc, we record that every week, and we release that every other Friday, just talking about manga and manga news in general. So if you're interested in what I'm reading besides Gintama and Case Close, there's your show for that. That's at allcomic.com. And basically, for just life lessons in general, you can find more of our podcast at gintalifelessons.wordpress.com. That's where we post every episode of the show. You can also listen to us on Stitcher or the Stitcher Smart Radio app or on Player FM. And you can follow us on Facebook.com, Twitter.com, and YouTube.com/GintaMangaCast. That's GINTAMANGACAST, Gintama Manga Cast. You can also email us anything about Gintama, the podcast, what you think about the manga over the anime, how much you like listening to Jess from Jess Reviews. just email us anything in general and we'll read it on the show. That's at GintaLifeLessons@gmail.com. Or you can leave us feedback in our occasional threads on the Gintama subreddit when time permits me to post those at reddit.com/r/Gintama. But the most important thing, guys, is that you subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes. We would really appreciate that. And actually, last but not least, I'm just going to remind you guys before we head out to please take our life lesson survey. We're wanting to get as much data from you guys as possible. Just letting us know what you think of the podcast in general, who you want to hear more from on the show. Again, like people like Jess, if you like her. If you like listening to her the most, let us know. We would really like to know what you guys think of the show. And the link to the survey will be in the show notes for this episode. But, this is also why you want to follow us on Twitter.com. Because I will be hopefully tweeting out the link to that survey whenever I get the chance. So, those are the places you can find that. But I think that's going to be about it for the show. Again, thanks to Jess for coming on, and we will see you guys next time for episode 57 of the podcast. Bye, guys.
All right, bye-bye. Boom.
You know, so far this chapter has been handled pretty well, except for this one dialogue bubble where, if you look closely, if you look